Now he's being brought up out of that dungeon. He's still in stocks and bonds, and they loose him and they give him an opportunity to address that whole crowd. And can you imagine if you could get your eyes, if you've ever seen an amphitheater, how it comes around and the seats are there, and you can imagine all of those throngs of people there, and Agrippa's on the throne on the top, and he says, "Answer for yourself." And Paul begins to preach the gospel and begins to tell the story of what happened to him on the Damascus Road. And he begins to tell how he was going to persecute the church and persecute the believer. And there Jesus saved him and changed his life. And as he comes forward, he begins to share with that whole crowd. And I could see Agrippa on the top of that great amphitheater, and you could probably see him begin to shake in the chair under conviction. And he begins to recognize the power of God that is upon the Apostle Paul as he is telling for himself what Jesus had done for him. And as he is in that great amphitheater, and there all of those people are gathered together, Agrippa looks at him in the latter part of the chapter 26, and he says, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me, the king, to be a Christian." And Paul said, "Not only you, but also all those that are here this day, I pray, would be persuaded with the gospel of Jesus Christ." And that should be our duty, our responsibility as we go forward in these last days, is to persuade people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the coming again of the Son of God, that time is running out. And if we're ever going to share Jesus with somebody, we need to do it today, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know how long we have upon this earth. But until that day comes, the church's business should be to persuade people with the gospel of Christ. If we keep the main thing at the house of God, then Jesus can be exalted in the place that he's ordained for his work to go forward. And that's why I appreciate your church and appreciate your pastor, because that's his desire, that's his heartbeat, is to see people's lives impacted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that should be our desire today. When you come to chapter 26, he's standing before Agrippa. "Do you believe that Paul was in the will of God?" Would you wave at me all over the building? Paul was on a mission, an assignment for the Lord. And as Paul is on this assignment for the Lord, and he's on this mission for the will of God, he stands before Agrippa. He's already stood before Festus and Felix, and they have said much learning had made thee mad, Paul. And Paul is beginning to share the gospel. Well, he's in prison. He's awaiting his time before Caesar, because he's appealed to Agrippa. And he said, "I want to go even higher above you. I want to go to Caesar." And so now Agrippa said, I could take the stocks away. I could let you go free, but you have appealed to go to Caesar. So now he's on another task. He's on another journey. And so he gets in a boat and he begins this trip and this journey to Rome to find himself before Caesar Augustus, and there to stand before him as well. And as he stands before him, he encounters a great storm and encounters a great problem that's going to come his way. And being in disaster relief, being with Hearts with Hands, we hear this all the time. If a hurricane is on the horizon and they look out and they see in the Doppler radar system that this hurricane is coming, and they say it's 2 days before land, 48 hours, 72 hours before, they give you a synopsis and they say this is what it could be if this storm were to hit. This is the storm surge. You've watched it on the Weather Channel. This is the storm surge of what could happen. This is what could take place if the scenario hits that this storm comes to your shore, comes to where you live. and you need to get storm ready. You need to make your house ready. You need to get everything in order. You need to make sure that you got the storm shutters up. You need to make sure that the businesses are boarded up. You need to make sure that everything is taken care of. And normally the governor of that state would come on national television and begin to warn his people, don't travel. If you're going to get out now. You only have a certain amount of hours before you can leave. And then once you get too close to the storm setting and the storm gets too close to the shore, the police can't help you, the fire can't help you, the rescue department can't help you, the Coast Guard can't help you because they cannot travel in speeds above 60 miles an hour. And so they are in the storm setting. They're in preparation. They're getting ready. And he makes this declaration, you need to get storm ready. And I got to thinking about it. The Holy Spirit began to deal with me. How many of God's people are storm proof and storm ready at the house of God? How many of us are even prepared when the storms of life come? How many of us even know what to do when the storms come? How do we know how to respond spiritually when the storms come? And so Paul is in the will of God. And guess what happens to him? A storm comes. You are not going to be vacated by storms because you are in the will of God. That's part of life. And we've got to comprehend when they come, how they come, and what happens when they come, and how to react and respond spiritually. So that way, when that difficulty arises in your spiritual journey, it doesn't catch you off guard. It doesn't knock the wind out of you. It does not get you to the place where you quit on God, but you understand this is how to spiritually handle the problems and the difficulties of life when they come your way. So in Acts chapter 26, he stands there, and now Agrippa sends him on a ship, and he begins this course in Acts chapter number 27, and he finds himself on this ship. And in verses number 4, we have launched and the winds were contrary. Verse number 5, and when we sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, city of Lycia. And then you come down into the remaining part in verse number 13 of this same chapter of 27. And the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. I believe it was like a hurricane that came into their pathway as they are on this journey to Rome on this ship. They encounter a hurricane on this ship. And can you imagine a lot of our Navy folks? I don't know how they do it. My wife's dad was part of that crowd, and he tells the horror stories how they would get locked up on their ship and they would go toward the storm, not running away from it, and that ship would start doing this the whole time that storm's coming. And I've been on deep sea fishing trips when the storm surge was 8 and 10 foot in height, and I don't want to go out there when it's 70 foot tall and they're 60 foot tall and they're 40 foot. I don't want to be a part of that. I had enough at 8 foot. I can't imagine those storm surges a lot taller than that. And so they get comfortable, and he said they would basically put seat belts on them and make them lay on their cots and seat belt themselves in and ride out the storm. And that's when I would have probably vacated the ship and said, I'm going to shore, because that's not going to be a good trip. But when you start seeing those storms and you start seeing those hurricanes come, that's what Paul was facing. And when he comes to that place in verse number 15 of chapter 27, and when the ship was caught and we could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And a lot of Baptists, we're good at several things. When storms come, we're good at quitting. Amen. Can I get an amen on that? And so what did they do? They started drifting. When the storm come, in verse 15, we're just going to let the ship drive. We're not going to take control of the circumstance. We're not going to try to guide the ship. We're just going to drift in the middle of the storm and let the storm toss us to and fro. And so many times we find ourselves, like many people, when the storms of life come, we find ourselves drifting. All of this is introduction. Verse number 19, notice what they did after they drifted. Exceedingly in verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. They started tossing everything over that they needed. They tossed the tackling. They tossed the anchors. They tossed everything that they needed to hold on to. They started throwing it overboard and discarding that. And they started throwing the stuff away that they needed. Why is it in the midst of the storm that we discard what we know is what is best for us, and we discard the path of the Word of God, and we discard the manual that God gives us to how to respond in the midst of the storm? And so they discarded. If you're going to quit on God, you got to discard what Jesus said. You got to throw it aside. You got to throw all those things away. But my challenge to you is get storm ready, get storm proof, that when it comes, it won't knock you off the balance of the will of God, but you'll stay faithful in the midst of the storm. What this world needs to see is people that know how to praise God when the problems come. They need to see people that in the midst of a storm, when it comes, that they can still lift up holy hands, that they're not bad mouthing God in the midst of what they're facing. And I never want to do that to this generation. I never want to sing a sad story. I never want to tell a sad story. I never want to present to them that my God is dead, because I have watched Him in the midst of the storm be faithful every step of the way to bring me faithfully through what I was facing. And God will be faithful if you would just trust Him and trust the manual, the Word of God, that He's placed in front of you. So Paul is here and he's watching all of these people. They're nervous, they're afraid, they're filled with anxiety, they're filled with fright, they're filled with fear, and they're wondering, will they even make it? Will their lives be salvaged? And they start discarding, they start drifting. But notice in verse number 19, and the third day we cast out of their own hands the tackling of the ship, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. They lived in despair. How did a seaman in that day chart his course? He charted it by the sun, by the stars, by the moon. He charted his course. And when the storm came, it was black as pitch in every direction, and they could not chart their course. So they thought, man, we're doomed. We're over. It's going to be over. There's no way we can make it, because we don't even know which direction that we're headed into. And they came to the place where they lived in despair. And many of us, as God's people, find ourselves gloomy and despair when the storm comes, when the difficulty comes, and we find ourselves questioning God, and we find ourselves doubting God, and we find ourselves despairing on God in the midst of the storm. When you know as well as I do, God has proven Himself true time and time again. Every time you go through stuff, guess who goes through it with you? It's the God of heaven that carries you, that walks with you, that helps you in the midst of what you're facing, and you are not in that by yourself. Can I get a big amen? Because God is faithful every day, and He's faithful all the time, and I can trust Him. I can depend upon Him. I can put my faith in Him. I can put my assurance in Him that He's never going to hurt me in the midst of what I'm going through. Now, notice this. They got to that place of despair. The darkness came and they wondered, would they even make it? And Paul comes out in chapter number 27 and verse number 22. While the whole time that they are in the ship in the storm, Paul went down below board, and underneath there where the sleeping quarters was at, Paul found himself. But Paul was not by himself. For in verse number 22, I now exhort you, which means I've come to give you some good news. And I'm glad the word of God is filled with good news. The news station that you watch, whether it be Fox or any others, is depressing. It's discouraging. It's always bad. It's always stuff. It's always this scandal and that scandal and this problem and this difficulty. And if you live your life on the news, you're going to live in despair. If you live your life on the news, you're going to live down in the dumps, because you're going to let that ruin and wreck your life and get you so discouraged and so defeated, you're not going to know what to do. But if you'll get the news of the Word of God, He can exhort you, He can encourage you, He can help you to understand. Yes, He knows the end from the beginning. He knows He's the Alpha and the Omega. He knows everything that's going to take place. He's a sovereign God, and He's not in heaven biting His fingernails like you and I are, taking Valiums like a lot of people does just to calm the nerves of today. He's in heaven, and He's got everything under control. And He's there to let us know that He can exhort us in the midst of the storm. Now follow with me. Paul, he says, I exhort you, be of good. Can you imagine? A Baptist preacher comes up. You're going through the toughest day of your life. You're going through the toughest valley that you've ever been through. And he comes up and says, cheer up. Everything's going to be okay. And you're thinking, man, you're crazy. You don't see what I see. You not walk where I'm walking. But Paul is experiencing the same storm they are. Amen. Paul is going through the same problem they're going through. Paul is involved in the same difficulty that they're involved in. And Paul is in the bottom part of the boat, and there something happens. He says, be of good cheer. For verse 23, he defines it. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, I believe the Lord Himself, whose I am and whom I serve. He said, while y'all been frantic, while y'all are panicking, while y'all are afraid of what's happening, while y'all are discouraged and defeated and despondent and worried about tomorrow, I've been fellowshipping with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He told me everything is going to be all right. So I exhort you, cheer up, house of God. Everything's going to be okay. And here Paul says, for there stood by me whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. He made him a promise. Everything's going to be okay. You're going to make it. I've got a purpose. I've got the plan in action. Everything's going to be taken care of. Don't fret. Don't worry. The storm's here. The storm's coming. But I am the storm peacekeeper in the midst of the storm. Amen. And here Jesus stands with the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to give you several things about storms. When the governor would stand up, and I've been in many of those press conferences, and the governor will stand up and he will begin to say, you need to get your house ready. You need to get your business ready. You need to get everything ready. Storm's coming. When the tornadoes come, you don't have that much time. I remember a few months ago, I was in a hotel over here in Knoxville, and I was doing some recruiting at Crown College for our summer events there at the camp. And that's when those storms hit Mississippi. And I remember turning the weather channel on, and they were describing what was this location was about to get hit. This location was about to get hit. This location. And Jill's first cousin, pastors in Grenada, Mississippi. He was right on the path of where this storm was. And they had just bought a community center that had a warehouse in it. And he had told me at one of our family reunions this year, he said, if y'all ever need to come to this area, we've got a place to put stuff and we can help you. And so sure enough, I picked up the phone when I saw it was coming through there. And I said, how did you fare? He said, I'm good. He said, but right below us, about 160 mile path, it destroyed everything in its pathway. And I said, well, help's on the way. I'll get some stuff started tomorrow. That was on a Sunday afternoon. And I went back to the office. I got some stuff put together. We got the first tractor trailer load there to that community center, that warehouse. And we began distributing in all of those Mayfield areas and all of those areas that were so devastated by that horrific tornado. And I remember telling him, I was watching it on the news as they were predicting and they were telling that this location, but it wasn't a lot of time given. It wasn't like a hurricane where they can give a prediction of 72 hours out, 36 hours out, 24 hours out, all of that. And so it's a whole different ball game when it's an instantaneous storm than when it's something they can predict long term and have some time to prepare. But here Paul was, and this storm comes up out of nowhere. And Paul is in the bottom of the ship, and there he's meeting with Jesus in the bottom of that ship. And Jesus said, everything's going to be all right. Well, here's some things that I learn in Scripture and learn physically in the storm realm of what we do. Storms will definitely come, number one. I don't know when, I don't know where, at what time, at what point, but every person in this building is going to encounter a storm spiritually. Storms are going to come. It's part of life. It's the cycle of life. It's the time that we're on this earth. There's going to be storms. So if I understand that, I should not let that wreck my faith. I should not let that discourage my faith. I should not let that get me to depart from my faith. I ought to understand that the Bible told us these things will come to pass. Even those that are watching by television and those that are watching online, you need to understand storms will come in your life. Don't let it wreck your spirituality because a storm comes. It's part of life. It's going to come. Number two, not only will storms definitely come, storms cannot be controlled. I cannot control how that storm is going to react in the atmosphere, nor can you. I cannot control physically how that storm is going to, how large it's going to get, what it's going to do, how much damage it's going to cause, nor can I control the storms that come into my life spiritually. I can't. God can, but I can't. I don't know what's going to come tomorrow, but I know this much. I know, according to the manual, according to the Word of God, He holds us in the palm of His hand. And I know this much, He promised us He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And He promised us that He would hold us through whatever we face tomorrow. God will be faithful. When my wife was diagnosed with breast cancer a couple years ago, and I didn't go to God and request, Lord, let this come to me. I'm spiritual enough to handle it. No, you'd be stupid. You'd be dumb to do that, huh? But when the storm comes, how do I react? Do I understand that God's got something in mind with this storm, and there's something that's going to occur after the storm, and God's going to let us experience some things through the storm that I would have never experienced any other way unless I went through that, unless she went through that? And God knows how to grow our faith if we'll put our trust in Him in the midst of the storm. So storms will come. Storms cannot be controlled. And as much as we are control freaks in America, we can't control what the storm brings us. Huh? I'm a fixer. You're a fixer. A lot of men, a lot of women in this building, you're fixers. You want to fix it for somebody. You don't want them to suffer. You don't want them to go through problems. You don't want them to go through difficulties. But there's some storms that's out of your hand and out of your control that you cannot fix. And I can't fix. I can't control what it brings, nor can you. You can't will it away. But you can pray to the Lord that God would give grace, and his grace is sufficient for you and for me. And how do you explain when a person is going through cancer? And I want you to pray for my little mama. She's 83, and she was diagnosed a couple days ago with pancreatic cancer, and that's one that normally there's no cure for. And she's supposed to have surgery August the 7th. She did meet the criteria to get that done because it's so small. And we met with the doctor, and he basically just told us. He said, there's really, we can do the surgery. We can take it, and we can try to get the perimeters as good as we can. But there's really nothing that we can do. We've not got a cure for it. And my mother looked at me and said, either way, I'm good with it because I'm ready to see Jesus. And that makes all the difference in the world. And so we had our little crying spell, huh? I mean, it was hard for me to even talk to my mama, and looking at her and watching what the doctor was saying. And she's got two different type cancers inside of her pancreas, which is one's bad enough, and now she's got two and all of that. And She just started bringing out her little prayer journal and talking about, oh, I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for my daughter Elise, I'm praying for Jill. And she started talking about all of her little prayer journal and all of that. And I said, oh God, my little prayer warrior. And when I got her an iPhone, I never thought she would follow me, but she got Find My Friends. And she'll look me up and, what are you doing in Knoxville? And I'll tell her I'm over here preaching, pray for us. And she'll go back and she'll come online and she'll come watch his service. And she wants to see her little preacher boy, and she wants to see what God is doing. And she'll start praying for you and your church. She'll get on there and she'll watch. And so it's amazing. But in the midst of that, yes, it hurts. In the midst of that, I can't control the outcome. I can't control the circumstances. But I know God is faithful in the midst of the circumstances. I know God is faithful in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of the sad news, in the midst of those words that you hear the doctor say. Because I know Dr. Jesus, and if he wants to, he can let her stay around here longer than I am. Because he's in control. I'm not, but he is. And so I understand, I rely, I rest in that. So storms will come. Storms cannot be controlled. But this is the consolation I want to give you before we go to the house tonight that should exhort you and encourage you. That storms brings the presence of Jesus like no other time. What was those disciples when they were on the Sea of Galilee and the boat was rocking back and forth and Jesus was in the bottom part of the boat, and they come and wake him up down there and says, Master, care us not that we perish. And Jesus comes to the top of the boat and he looks out over the storm that's raging and he says, peace, be still. And the storms went, and they said, wow. Even the waves and the wind obey his command and his will. That's the Savior that you have. And in the midst of the storm, the consolation that I have is the presence of Jesus will abide with you and I in the midst of what we're facing. We are not in this by ourselves. We've got a Heavenly Father. We've got a Savior, the Son of God. We've got the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that's with us every day of our life that will help us through the midst of the storm. So cheer up, child of God. You can make it tomorrow. because of the presence of the Lamb of God. The consolation, I know his presence will be there. For in verse number 23, he said, there stood by me the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Jesus was right there in the midst of the storm with him, and he'll be right there in the midst of the storm with you. And when the doctors say there's nothing else that they can do, I can look to Dr. Jesus, and he knows what's best. And he knows how to take care of every circumstance and every situation. So I know the presence of Jesus in the storm. But listen to this, number two. How's the consolation of that storm? What gives me comfort in the midst of the storm is I know that God has a purpose in the storm. What was the purpose? Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul knew God's purpose in the midst of the storm. Everybody in this building, what is the purpose of the storms that you and I face? That we bring maximum glory to Jesus in the midst of what we face. That a gainsaying and an unbelieving society around us could see that we're different than everyone else they've ever met. Because in the midst of the storm, I've seen the child of faith praise God. In the midst of the storm, I've seen men and women of faith give glory to Jesus. In the midst of the storm, when it looked like all hope was gone and they lost everything they have, they give Jesus praise and glory and honor in the midst of the circumstance. What was the purpose? That a lost and dying world could see Christ inside of us in the midst of what we're facing. That I don't act like me, but I praise him through me to give glory and honor to the God of heaven, to let him know that I'm trusting him, I'm believing him, I'm walking in faith by him, and I know everything is going to be okay because he's got me in the grip of his hand. And as long as he's got my hand, he's got my life, he's got my heart in the midst of his hand, everything is going to be okay. No matter what comes tomorrow, he's the God that holds our tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And so to the child of God, I can be happy in the storm. I can be praiseful in the storm. I can give glory in the storm. I can give adoration in the storm because I know God knows how to bring us through the storm. His presence is a consolation. The purpose of why we're there is a consolation. But thirdly, his manual, his Bible, his word that he gives us, his promises helps us through the storm. Amen. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll stick closer than a brother. I love you. I love this one. He promised he would not put on us more than we can bear. And every time when it looks like the storm is so big and it's so tough and it's so hard and it's so difficult and you're walking in a body of pain and you don't know how you're going to make it, aren't you glad that you've got some promises that you can run to and cling to that are sure and are true and are definite and are secured in the Word of God that you can cling to and take hold of, that you know that no matter what comes my way, I can trust His book, I can trust His promises, I can trust the Word of God because God will not lie and cannot lie. So I've got promises. Amen. Find you one and learn it. Find you one and stand on it. Find you one and memorize it. Find you one and digest it. Find you one of those promises and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to stay true to this promise. How did Jesus himself defeat Satan personally? He did it through and by the Word of God. And God said, I honor my word above my holy name. And if I'll take those promises, I'll trust those promises, I'll believe believe those promises. I'll react on those promises. I can make it and you can make it through the storms of life. Come out on the other side giving glory and honor to the God of glory because he was faithful to bring us through. Paul, how did you make it? Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. He exhorts them again. Cheer up. It's going to be okay. For I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, even as it was promised to me, even as Jesus declared it to me. I believe him that everything's going to be okay. And Paul said, the ship may break apart. The old ship may be tattered. The ship may break apart. We may get to the shore on pieces, but you will not lose your life because Jesus promised he's going to take care of you. And sometimes you think that you're swimming on the batter boards and you're swimming on the pieces of the boat and you're swimming under the difficulty and the duress of the circumstance and the situation. But hang on, the Lord promised he would take care of you. And either way, if I go by the way of the grave, if I go by the way of sickness, if I go by the way of some tragedy, either way, I'm going to be in the presence of the Lamb of God, absent from this body, present with the Lord. So whatever takes place tomorrow, I'm glad I know Jesus as my Savior. Because that makes all the difference in the world of how we respond in the storms. So how do I get storm proof? I got to know storms are going to come. How many would agree with me? Storms are going to come. Wave at me. Storms are going to come, right? Storms are going to come. Storms cannot be controlled. You can't fix it. Don't worry yourself to death over it. Don't. My mother, now she is bad about this. She's a worry wart. And she worries about her children. She worries about her grandchildren. And she worries about everything. And I told her, I said, don't worry. I said, be happy. Don't worry. God's got it. It's all right. If I worried about everything that happened to me, Lord, I'd be taking Valiums and everything else. I don't worry. My wife says, how can you do all the stuff you do and not worry? I go to sleep at night. I lay my head on the pillow and I'm gone. She said, you ought to be awake all night long worried about this. Oh, no. That ain't my problem. That's Jesus. That's his problem. I turned it over to him a long time ago. That's his work. That's his ministry. That's his will. I'm just here as a caretaker of it for a little while. Huh? And so I just want to bring glory and honor to him. We was talking about Brother J. Harold Smith that's been here. He'd always tell you, every time you talk to him, he'd show you that letter and show you how he'd write a love letter to Jesus every day. And he had a ministry, thousands of radio stations, I reckon, that he was on and cost thousands. I believe right before he died, his radio bill's over $96,000 a month. Now, that ought to make you worry, huh? He told me, he said, preacher, he said, it's not mine. I'm just a caretaker of it. And he said, I just go to the Lord in prayer and just ask him, if you want to shut your business down, that's up to you. But if you want to keep it going, that's up to you. And he said, I'm not going to worry about it. It's your business. It's your work. It's your plan. It's your purpose in what you're doing. And the faith that man had was just unbelievable. Amen. And so I you was asking as evangelist, I had a whole page of questions when I sat down with him. I was just starting out, and I sat down with him. I was scared to death. I was going to stand before a general of the faith and sit there at his desk. And for 3.5 hours, I went to Holy Ghost University. I never asked one question. He answered all of them in that 3.5 hour span. He said, don't worry, son. He said, if God told you to do it, and God's called you to do it, he'll provide for you to do it. I've rested in that for 30 years. I've walked in that for 30 years. I've witnessed that for 30 years. I wish the preacher and I could stand up here and we could just have a forum, us just talking. Maybe we can do that on television one day. We can do a forum just talking about how God has provided time and time again. Amen. Just to prove Satan's crowd false. Just to let the world know that God is real and God is alive and His work is still going forward and God can still do the impossible. And in the midst of whatever you're facing tonight, don't worry, be happy. Jesus is right there in the midst of what you're facing and He will take care of you. Just as He has the church of the past, He will take care of the church of the present and bless you and help you. Paul, how did you make it? Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul, I believe I've shared this with you before. Paul leaves chapter 27. They're on boards. The ship is broken apart. And they come to Melita, that island of barbarous people. And Paul gets off the boards, and all of the people are cold and they're scared. Their lives had just been torn apart. The boat that they was resting in was torn apart. And now they come to the shore, and Paul knows that his people that he's with is cold, and he goes and he gets some wood and he starts a fire. And he notices that all of a sudden that serpent comes up as a piece of wood and snatches onto the hand of the Apostle Paul. This is Lent's theology. I'll tell you that up front. I could believe the Apostle Paul says to that snake, "Oh boy, I've been through peril. I've been through storm. I've been through shipwreck. I've been through starvation. I've been through problems. I've been through spittings. I've been through beatings. I've been through all of that in the will of God, and you think you're going to stop me now?" And he shook him off. And the scripture said those barbarous people were amazed and wowed and said, "Wow, this must be a God." They didn't know who God was. Paul was showing them who God was. And there, I believe Paul was able to preach to those barbarous people because he shook off what got him in the midst of the storm. Shake it off. Go on. Live for God. Honor the Lord. Trust Him. He is faithful every step of the way. Amen. There's some stuff that you can't control. Keep on going. There's some problems you can't fix. Keep on going. There's some situations that I can't solve. Keep on going, because I know the problem solver, and Jesus can, if I'll put my faith and trust in Him. So get your life spiritually storm ready. Get the Word of God. Put it in your digesting book and put it in your deposit of your bank account spiritually. And deposit those promises that God has already given you, so when the storm comes, you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but you're steadfast, true to the will of God, true to the work of faith, living for Jesus, honoring Him when either He calls you home or the trumpet sounds and we see Him face to face. Boy, I'm telling you, what a reunion day that will be when we get to see our Savior. But until then, I may swim on some boards, but I can make it. Until then, I may hear some doctor's words that I don't like, but I can make it, because I know He promised me He would be there with me every step of the way. Child of God, get storm ready. Get storm proof. I don't know when you're going to need this, but this is a preparatory message. Get ready. Because someday you're going to need what I just talked to you about, what I just preached to you about, and you're going to need to know how to respond when it comes. Don't let it knock the wind out of your sails spiritually. Keep on going for Jesus and love Him and watch what He'll do in the midst of what I'm facing, in the midst of what you're facing, and watch the miracles that He can work still in your life and mine. Oh, don't you love the Lord tonight? Don't you appreciate God's goodness and what He's done for us? Nobody's ever loved you and I like Jesus, and He's not in heaven finding ways that He can bring harm to your life. He just wants to mature us and make us more like Him. The closer we get home, that we can brag on Him, we can magnify Him, we can glorify Him, we can love on Him like He loves on us every day. I have no complaints in Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, thank You for this great day, this great church, and Your servant here for these years. God, continue to bless him and his wife. And God, I pray that you touch him and use him in a special way. Thank you for the ministry that he has to so many people, so many lives that he impacts every week. God, we thank you for it. And Lord, I pray that you bless him and bless this church. Thank you for their love, their support, their help. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be ready when the difficult days come, Lord, that we'll trust you. And Lord, we can track you, that you are faithful every day to what you promised to us. And there's promises in this Bible we can stand on, we can cling to, and we can depend on that will help us through the storms of life. And Lord, let us be storm ready. Let us be storm proof. And Lord, let us live our lives bringing glory and honor to your holy name, because you changed our life by your marvelous grace. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I wonder, as they get ready to sing a verse of invitation, I want us to stand all over the building, and maybe you would like to come, and maybe you're going through a storm. Maybe you're going through a difficulty. The old adage is true. You're either in a storm, or you're about to go in a storm, or you just come through a storm. It's all wrapped in life. It's the stage of life that we're all in. We're going to face stuff every day. How will we respond when it comes? And I wonder, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would there be one in the building say, "Preacher, I've been going through some tough days spiritually, some storms of my own. And would you pray for me tonight, because I want to know how to respond in those storms correctly?" Would you lift those hands up all over the building? And maybe you'd like to just come and get around this altar and say, "Lord, help me in the midst of the storm that I'm walking in right now. Lord, help me to give glory to you. Help me to walk through it and to make you proud of me in the midst of the storm. Help me to walk through it to learn through the Word of God how I can trust you and watch you provide in the midst of the storm." Maybe you'd like to come. As they sing a verse of invitation, you just mind the Lord all over the building. You come and let the Lord help you tonight, and make yourself storm ready and storm proof.
Sorrows like sea billows.